Greetings in Jesus' name and welcome. Want to worship God this morning again? See what He has for us. You may turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. I kind of have this verse as my text. First Peter, chapter 4, verse 9 is my text, but I like to read from verse 8 as well. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. The title this morning I have is Use Hospitality One to Another. I believe this. There's a few other scriptures that we're not going to turn to in regards to the word hospitality in that form. You could find it in Romans 12, verse 13, 1 Titus 3, 2, actually 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, and Titus 1, 8. Giving direction to the leaders of the church for hospitality. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. We like to consider that subject this morning. Dictionary definition, given to generous and cordial reception of guests, readily receptive. Promising or suggesting a generous and friendly welcome. Or offering a pleasant or sustaining environment. This past week, I was disturbed in the middle of the night sometime, and during my wake time, I usually don't have a problem sleeping, but there was things on my mind, and for whatever reason, I was awake for some time, and God brought this subject to my mind, and it just felt like God was giving me something to share on. And so I'm blessed again to feel God's working in my life in those little ways. And also, this message may have been born out of a burden of my own heart to see healthy relationships continue among us. And I do not want to totally exclude the value of reaching out to our community. I will talk about that some, but my focus is directed more towards Christian relationships. And as I think of hospitality, one of the aspects that I want to think about is the fact of letting down the walls so that people can come into our lives. And I want you to think about that as we go through the message. You know, as we look at society, it seems like people have invented ways to get things done faster, make easier connections, social connections. But the question I'd like to raise for us to consider this morning is this. Is the personal back porch company thriving more or less in our time era? We could talk a little bit about that. We could discuss if the porches have gotten smaller or bigger. But looking at it from a relational perspective, is it getting better or is it getting worse? And I have a desire to continue to see those personal relationships be a strong part of our culture, and there's different ways that that can happen. It can happen through the visitation of a home. It can happen to a baby visit. It can happen by stopping in, taking a meal. It can happen on a Sunday evening visit. Or one of the things that I'm blessed by in some groups that I see is the gathering together to help people when there's a need. whether it's a house fire or remodeling project, or not a remodeling project, a rebuilding project or something like that. And I'm blessed to see that. And I think that is so important as God's people to be involved in things like that. And there's a connection that's made by that kind of interaction that gives a sense of belonging or togetherness. And I think that's very helpful in a Christian setting because it gives you an identity. Along with that, I believe we need to keep open minds how we can reach the community and draw them into our relationships. And I'd like to consider some biblical principles to guide us in our relationships. I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 2. There's a verse that I like to read. There's three different verses, I believe, here I'd like to look at right from the beginning, have some thoughts on. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 2. Hebrews 13 and verse 2. I'm not sure what I said. Hebrews 13 and verse 2. Well, let's begin in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. This is probably reaching out a little beyond our church group or the people we know. But I'd like to ask the question, I'd like to ask two questions with this verse this morning. Has anyone ever neglected to show hospitality and then later wondered if it was an angel? I don't know if I can really think of anything like that in my own life. But it's possible. Second question I'd like to ask is, has anyone ever entertained someone and showed hospitality and wondered later if it was an angel? Two questions from different aspects to consider. And I'd like to say this morning that with this verse, we are people who have a responsibility to show consideration, to show hospitality to others. And this verse implies that we could fail to do so. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. It's another verse that I like to read. Galatians 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And one thing I like to focus in on this verse is the focus of helping everyone without exclusion, but putting a high priority on helping Christians. And we could ask the question, well, how does that play out? And I'll just try to explain that a little bit from my thinking. Christians are to have their spiritual needs are met in God. I hope you understand what I'm saying by this. Christians are to have their needs met, their physical, emotional, social needs met by church or Christian people, while in turn turning to the world and helping the world meet their needs through Christ. The world ought to be receiving something from us, but we need to be careful with what we're getting from the world. If our needs are met by the world, we will lose our love for God. And sometimes there's a fear of reaching out lest we lose our separation. And there's concern for that. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. And it's a concern that should not be taken lightly. But I believe that we ought to kindly show our neighbors that we care and have a mentality of giving in the name of Jesus. And as Christians, I believe the tie should be stronger between us because the walls are down. When we go out into the world, we don't run to their riotousness. We don't go to their ball games, and we don't go to their beer parties, and we don't receive that from the world. But when I go to your place, I expect to be built up. And I hope you expect that from me. There's a tie that's happening there that can happen with the world because our lifestyles are different. But I think if we can keep in mind that we're giving something to the world rather than getting something from the world, it can be helpful in reaching out and letting those, I want to be careful how I say this, but letting those walls down and reaching out. Just back up a few pages to Galatians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. I like to read this verse, these verses. Talking about Peter and Paul, Galatians 2, verse 8. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas a right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Here we see Peter wanting to reach the Jews, and Paul wanting to reach the heathen or the Gentiles. And I like to say this morning that all of us have different callings in life. There could be a difference of opinion this morning on if I'd raise the question, how much energy should be invested in God's people and how much energy should be put into the community. And I don't know that I have all those answers. But we do see here that Peter was going to the Jews, and Paul wanted to go to the Gentiles. And so there's a balance in this all. The other thing I like to think about is that people connect better with some people than other people. Some people do better in a crowd. Some people are more for one-on-one. And all of us have different ways and places to express our appreciation for others. And we see these gifts as blessings. At least we ought to. A blessing in diversity. And where we fall short, hopefully someone else will pick up. But as they give a good example, hopefully it will motivate us to do what we can and to challenge our life in the aspect of hospitality and reaching out. And so whether we're reaching in or without, I believe we need to reach out in the spirit of welcome so that people can sense that we care. And I think that can be especially hard to do when, you know, there's maybe fear of someone. But another thing I want to notice with these verses is that both supported reaching out to the poor. And I just want to say this, that if there is a need, when someone's hungry, someone's cold, we have a responsibility to reach out to them, whether they're in the church or outside of the church. And I believe today that the technology world, the insurance programs, and the government handouts, along with what we perceive as lazy people who don't work, and sinful lifestyles, I believe have possibly weakened our mentality of a responsibility to help each other. Because we look at their lives and we say, well, it's your mess. You could be different. Or we say, well, he's got a cell phone. We don't need to help him. It's dangerous to stop by the road to help someone. And we have all this stuff that people can turn to. And I'm not saying there isn't any truth to that. But I think we need to be careful because I think it can weaken our responsibility to each other as a church. Now, I'd like to look at 8 points taken from Genesis 18. I like to turn to Genesis 18 and I like to read verses 1 through 8. We have here Abraham entertaining his guests. And I want to see what lessons we can learn from Abraham showing hospitality. I'd like to read verses 1 through 8 from Genesis 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore ye come to your servants. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. 8 things. Number 1, reserve time. We see here Abraham was sitting in the tent door at the heat of the day. And we could ask the question, what was he doing? Why wasn't he out working? Was he talking to Sarah? Was he being idle? The Bible doesn't specifically show us those details. It just presents a story. And so we need to somewhat maybe think of the implications ourselves. But we do know that he was taking a break at the hottest part of the day, and it appears as though he was avoiding a heat stroke, whatever you'd like to put in there, getting out of the heat. And I would like to ask a question this morning. Had Abraham filled every minute of his day with responsibility to advance his success, would he have had the opportunity to serve his guests? Think about that. It wasn't that Abraham wasn't a successful man. Somewhere in here, sooner or later, not sure quite of the order, it might have been before this, Lot and him were having, or his herdsmen, it wasn't Abraham and Lot, but the herdsmen were having a kind of a squabble because they were had a lot of things. And I guess as I thought of that, I thought that we need to be careful not to become too overburdened with life, that hospitality becomes non-existent. You know, life is busy with normal family duties, but I'm especially referring to choices that we make to make ourselves successful, where the focus is self-focus, especially. Also, I like to say that life brings opportunities that come for us for a time and leave and are gone forever. Colossians 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And so, we need to make time or reserve time. Is our life set up in a way that when God puts an opportunity in front of us, just for us, that we can take it? And I know we have to weed through that. I'm not advocating this morning that sometimes we have to say no in life. Maybe we're sick. Maybe there's things that come out. I'm not saying that. But do we have time to use the opportunities that God puts in front of us? Number 2, I have awareness of your surroundings. We see here that Abraham looked up and he sees these men standing by. He saw them. He was aware of his surroundings. And I'm guessing that one difference in this story to our day is the amount of people that Abraham saw in a day. I don't know how many people came past Abraham's tent, but for some reason I think it was probably not that many. But Abraham still had a choice to decide if he was going to host these men or not. That was a decision that he had to make. Will or I won't. It doesn't even appear that he asked Sarah before he invited them. And I thought maybe that shows the importance placed on hospitality. And I say that carefully. I think it's good to communicate. And today there's so many people that drive past our houses. There's a lot of us. Some of you work out in public and you see more people than you can count. And I wonder sometimes if that's part of the problem why we lack hospitality, because we have so many people to relate to that we kind of just let them all go. But like Abraham, we have a choice on who we will host. And I asked the question this morning, are we looking for the opportunities that God puts in front of us, or do we miss them? And again, we could go back to the verse, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Number three, make an effort to meet them. We see here that Abraham ran to meet his guests, seemingly without hesitation. And I know that cultures have differing practices that are accepted as normal and right that may not be appropriate for other cultures. And I just imagine how it would be if you would come to visit me and you would drive in my driveway and you would be parking and I'd bust out of my house, running down to your car, and I'd stand there and wait till you get out. Maybe I'd even open your car door. You know, you could probably feel infringed upon a little bit. But there are steps that we can take to make people welcome in our culture. And I like to just think about a few of them. One of the things I thought about is when you're having company, swing the door there open before they get there to show they're welcome and invite them in. It's just a part of being there to show your support and give them a welcome. Another one I thought about is if there's visitors at our church, it's proper to meet them, to exchange names, to take an interest in their well-being or who they are, to make sure they're welcome, to offer them a seat or to give them an invite to participate in the service. All part of making people feel welcome. Or if we're in public, having an open face, a big smile, a nod of recognition, or a cheerful greeting will often open the door to leaving one into your space. And I want you to keep thinking about that. One aspect of this hospitality is leaving our walls down so people can come in. Number four, show respect and honor. We see here that Abraham bowed himself toward the ground. Now, we don't have this custom in our country. I do not know whether Abraham bowed because of who he thought these men were, or if that was just a normal thing for their custom, for their country, or for their culture. I'm not sure. I did not study into that. But I think we do well to consider the concept of this action, and one that we teach from the Bible is simply the Christian salutation, is a concept of this. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Showing respect, honor, love. That's in a Christian setting. As we think of the public, one of the things that we don't think about so much anymore is the tip of the hat when you talk to a lady. Probably a lot of people don't wear hats anymore. But I believe that may have been a sign of respect. Other small acts to consider is the removing of weather protection on your head when entering a public facility, or the removing of your sunglasses if you're wearing them when you're entering a store or something like that. There seems to be value in being open-faced and vulnerable that helps put people into ease and out of suspicion when they can see who you are. And I think it's part of honor and respect. I'm just touching on a few. There's a lot that could be talked about. Number 5, greet them by name. We notice here that Abraham greeted them with, "My Lord." Abraham was addressing with respect, humility, and acceptance. And there seems to be a measure of value when we address a person with a title. I think there's value in using people's first names, especially in a formal setting, or when we meet someone and we haven't seen them for a while. It could speak of kinship and acceptance. To those we know well in the Christian faith, we might call brother or sister. To the public, we might use Mr. and Mrs., or sir, or ma'am, or other. It's a part of breaking down the barriers that hinder a relationship. Letting people into your life. 3 John 1 verse 14, "But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee." Greet the friends by name. Just noticing from that verse, we have a desire to have a face-to-face relationship. He was writing to them, but he wanted to be there with them in presence. And as we think of hospitality, we think of receiving people into our presence. Greet them by name. Number 6, we have an invitation of welcome. Abraham told the men, "Pass not away." And maybe you could say, well, that sounds a bit demanding. But I believe Abraham was giving a big welcome. He was expressing how much he wanted them to stay. It seems as though he felt unworthy to have this privilege. He also poses the question in a way that clearly states his mission or desires. And I believe one part of hospitality is an invitation of welcome. One thing that my wife and I notice different times is a question that people ask. They say, "Do you have plans?" And I know that this question is meant well, but I want you to think about it because I think it can put someone in a bit of a difficulty to know how to answer. Do you have plans? Well, yes, I have plans, but they might be 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. See? And I believe if we are clear with our request, it helps put others at ease. Will you come to our house? We'd like to have you this evening. Will you come for dinner? Some of it may be the fear of rejection, that it's why it's asked that way. I'm not sure. But Abraham said, pass not by. And he told them what he would like to do. Get a little water. Wash your feet. Rest yourselves. Let's get some food on. Very clear. And as I thought also of an invitation, I thought of our Lord Jesus inviting the world to come. And I'm going to ask the question, why ought Christians to invite others into our lives? Christian people ought to invite others into their lives to show them the love of Christ and what it means to be his follower. And followers of Jesus love each other. And I believe that one of the ways that we try to keep this alive is the hostess family. It's a part of keeping hospitality alive and flourishing. But Jesus is our great example of this invitation for people to come. Come to me. And I believe we can follow his example, give an invitation of welcome physically, but also to win people spiritually. John 13, verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. Number 7, meeting their needs. We noticed here that he washed their feet. He offered a resting place, and he offered them a meal. I believe it took humility and time to be this kind of servant. And I like to say, when people stop in either by invite or unexpected, we ought to do what we can to provide for their needs. If they're hungry, offer them some food, if you can. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. If they need a shower or a bathroom, let them know where it is. Make them feel welcome to use it. It's an order to offer a chair, give them a listening ear or a word of encouragement. All things that we can do in meeting the person's need. Most of all, keep in mind to give spiritual aid if needed. And sometimes unexpected company stops in and we can groan because our house is a wreck. Say, oh no. But when they step inside and they offer to wash the big stack of dishes, maybe the hospitable thing to do is say, okay, thank you. I appreciate it. And everybody can be put at ease. It can be very relaxing when the company is released to do as they please, whether it is to help us or simply give them a way to relax. Make yourself at home. I came across a quote, give a guest everything and leave him do as he likes. A way to show hospitality. Number 8, value their presence. Make quickly, and Abraham ran, and we see they cooked up a good meal. But the focus point was the company and meeting their needs and making them feel welcome. This morning I'd like to ask, what is the focus point when we are spending time with company? Isn't it the people? And I know there's a balance between serving and relationships, and I don't know where that line is, but I'd like to give some things for us to consider. Number 1, decorations can make our home homey and attractive. But do our homes give a child-friendly atmosphere? And I don't know if some of you have stepped into houses ever that you felt like you had to put on your moccasins lest you break something. Just something to consider. Number 2, smartphones are a handy tool to have, but does our company feel like we're giving them second place? Number 3, talking is an important aspect of communication, but is it uplifting, good, and encouraging, and do we take time to listen? It's all part of valuing their presence, showing hospitality. And so people are the most important thing in our lives. People are the most important, should be the most important in our lives. But it's a concept that can be hard to always live by. And I think it's good to keep our houses in order, but the idea to have a perfect house with the dishes always put away, the floor always swept, and the wash always folded, the decorations always hanging at the right place. You know, if we have that concept, that it needs to be like that before anyone steps foot into our house, I think it's going to be a hindrance to our hospitality. I'm not shooting against keeping the house tidy, but I think that atmosphere could hinder it, or that mentality. And I also thought of Martha, who was concerned about the work, and Martha was trying to get Jesus to get after Mary for just sitting there listening to him. But Jesus said, Mary hath chosen the good part. And so as we think of the subject this morning, may it be encouragement to us to reach out and show hospitality to us as brothers, and while we can, invite the world into our doors and show them the love of Christ through us. Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.